I'd have to take off my coat to get it off anyway.
Would y'all thank the band, tell them how much you love them? Appreciate it very much. Amen. Glory be to God. Honor to have new people here this morning. If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, praise the Lord that you came. We pray you have a great time. Would you allow us to welcome you? If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you raise your hand? Just let us clap for you and say hello to you. Glad y'all are here, all of you. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming. Now, you guys that raised your hand, hopefully you got a visitor packet when you came in. And if you did, inside that visitor packet is a card and a pen. Would you mind to fill that out for us and just, we'll drop them in these buckets up here in just a little bit. Just gives us a record that you came, and we'll have someone on the team call you just to thank you for coming. We do it one time. We leave a message if you're not there, and hopefully you'll call back. But if not, it's just a call that says thank you. When did the church start? What do we believe? I'll help you out on both of those real quick. We started almost 17 years ago, and we believe the Bible. Amen? So, make it simple. Go ahead, fellas. Why don't we clap our hands for tithes and offerings, please? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. A lot of times when you start talking about money and finances in the Bible, or in how about just in a church, a lot of times we don't have the correct mentality about it. A lot of times at our churches growing up, they never did talk about it in fear that it might upset somebody. And I never understood that, of course. And so, at this church, when the Lord had me and my wife start this church, I was praying one day, and it was right after the camp meeting that we had, just to see if, you know, we knew we were supposed to move in this area somewhere, we just didn't know where. We had just turned over the very, very successful, we started it 25 years ago, the Lubbock, Texas Church at the Barn. And to this day, man, that we turned it over to Ted and Jan Currington to pastor it. They were at the ministers' conference and ministered for me this weekend in San Antonio, and just what a mighty, mighty move. So going from Lubbock, a very successful church, I bet 1,800 people got saved the first year or two there, is amazing. I've told y'all before, so many got saved, and so many wild cowboys and just whoever came got saved, that the FBI was checking us out. They put us on the cult list. And one of them undercover was coming to the services, our services, and finally came up one day and told me what was going on, that so many of those drug dealers and this really wild, wild people was giving their lives to Jesus. They just knew it was a cult. And of course, those FBI agents got saved themselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when the Lord told us to start this church, I was praying right after the camp meeting. And we started this church for, let's see, probably a year, 2 years on a Monday night. And God told me not to take a salary at this church. And it was about after 2 years that we bought this property and we put up a tent. And we started on Sundays. And then we moved our Monday service to a Tuesday night Bible study. And that's how it started. God just did some amazing things. But again, he told me not to take a salary. And what that did is it spread
across the counties, Burnett County and Williamson County and even Travis, because we have so many people come to this church from a good ways off even, that the word spread, and praise the Lord, they started speaking things like, wow, that preacher don't even take a salary at the church. Okay, here's what it did. It opened the door for me to be able to teach about finances. What does the Bible say about it? And obviously, if you've been here long enough, you'll find out, growing up just in a ranching family, most everybody knows Dad worked for the Duke, John Wayne, when I was born in Casa Grande, Arizona. And so all we knew is just cowboy life. And John Wayne would come from Hollywood, and my dad was just the ranch hand, though. And he'd drink coffee with him, and he was a gracious man, my dad said. Of course, I was just barely born, so I don't remember. I just see the pictures. But being born just kind of in a ranching family, Dad always said things like, hey, if the Bible says it, let's believe it. I mean, this is the way we were raised. But again, Dad and Mom were the ranch hands. Do you understand what I'm saying? They did not own the ranch. I remember at one ranch, they would give my mom and dad a half of beef. They would butcher a big cow, and they would get half of it. And I think they paid them $1,200 a month, gave them a house to live in, trying to raise three boys. And it just didn't go very far. And so Dad had to shoe horses. He had to train. There would be 10 horses lined up, colts, for us to train on, just to make some extra money. So what that did for me is it caused me to start digging into the Bible about finances. And so in college, I started digging into it because I was wondering why I had to have a job. I had to have a Pell Grant. I had to have a student loan. I had to have a rodeo scholarship, a music scholarship. I did whatever it took just to make it through college. And so I dug in this Bible, and I found out that 2,036 times it talks about finances in this book. Why would it talk about that money or gold or things like that in this book if God didn't want us to have it? Because that's kind of how we were raised. The preachers were afraid to say anything about money. Most of you know everything we do at this church is debt-free. This building was built debt-free. We just finally built the kids' church debt-free. Everything we're doing, debt-free. I can't tell you how incredible that is to a pastor to not have millions of dollars in debt, because I pastor a whole bunch of pastors. I'm the head of the ministers' network that they come to me, and they're sometimes $5-10 million in debt. And this church is debt-free. Now, so the reason that Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, because if you quit rejoicing, then your provider usually doesn't stay with God. It stays with whatever is out there to try to make money. But if you'll keep God as your provider, oh Jesus, God will bless you richly. Now let me tell you something. As I was praying, the next thing that we're believing God for, how many of you know that faith never stops? So when you build something like the kids' church, and now we have 8 classes and they don't have to go to the arena and the announcer stand, the youth does not have to go out over here to a blue building that's kind of running down. It was built. It's finished. But since faith never ends, we're going to go on to the next thing we're believing God for. And most of you all know that we're going to believe God for an indoor arena. And I think having an indoor arena on this property opens up a lot of ministry. A lot. Because number one, especially in this rain, people are looking for arenas to get under. Because I roped in Atoka, Oklahoma yesterday in the water. I'm telling you, there was hardly any ground that you could see, and I roped in it. I was riding my mare called Sally Red, and that water was splashing. And during the rodeo last night, they still had the calf scramble for the kids. It was the funnest thing ever. There were kids that were just jumping into it. I could see mamas that were Baptists talking in tongues. I mean, I was trying to get that dirt off those clothes. Oh, man. To have an indoor arena, though, is going to be a great benefit to this church, because a lot of events then will come and they'll be a part of this church. The ministry of it is incredible. Let me tell you something that I haven't ever had happen in all the years of ministry, in what I'm fixing to tell you. Because the Lord, as I was praying, He spoke this to me about how we're going to build that thing. Now, there's some other ideas that we're going to raise some money, and we're going to trust God to do it, because we're not going to build it until we're ready for it. But the Lord began to speak to me, and He said, it's time that we escalate the building and the believing, the faith, to do some things in these last days. I don't want to wait 5 years. I don't want to wait 4 years. God can provide that thing right now. There's a cowboy church down south of San Antone that people just got together and raised $1 million in one day. The thing is you've got to start getting your faith up, because God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. $1 million is nothing for the Lord. It is dust from the streets of gold in heaven. The problem is we've got to get our faith up. So the Lord began to show me that we're going to believe for people in this church or around. I'm going to be the first one. And some might be able to give for that indoor arena a lot, and some might not be able to give very much in your ways. But I want you to get your faith up. And I'm not talking about in the tithe going to that, because the tithe is going to go and continue to run the church. Amen. But when we get together and we begin to believe God, and I don't know when it might happen for some of y'all, but I'm believing God. And this is the number He showed me, 30 people to raise $10,000 each. And I'm going to be the first one to give $10,000 towards that indoor arena. I want you to start getting your faith up, because there's people in here that will probably give way more than that. But it's time that we get our faith up, where we're just not sitting on our hands, and we're believing God to build that indoor arena. I'm telling you, the church ropings that I put on, when it doesn't get rained out, I had to hire a helicopter for $500 an hour. And the helicopter stayed here 2 days just to have a church roping where 200 people got saved. If we hadn't had that helicopter, the arena would have been underwater. I want you to get your faith up and start believing with me. And if it's one of you that does that, I don't care if someone says, well, I can't do that, but I'm going to give this $500 or $150. I don't care what it is. Get that seed in the ground. But I'm telling you, I want you to come to me if you're one of those 30 sometime in the next month or two. And I want you to say, hey, I'm going to believe with you. If we get all this going, I'm telling you, we'll have that indoor arena built as quick as possible, where we'll never have a rodeo in the rain. And we had it in the rain this year, a little bit, about 2 days. And we still had some of the biggest crowds that we've ever had. Here's the second thing I'll tell you. The rodeo has been upgraded. We are moving the open rodeo to a professional PRCA rodeo starting next year. And so we've just grown it. It's just so big now. So glory be to God on that. So why don't y'all come give with a big old shout of praise this morning and let God do some mighty things in your life. Amen. Glory be to God. Oh, Jesus, here we go. While you guys are giving, This coming Tuesday night, Mr. Windrum's not going to be here. The prophet, he's actually going to be coming on June the 8th. So write down, not this Tuesday, but the next. The prophet's not going to be here this Tuesday, but the next Tuesday. This Tuesday, Ricky and Laurie are going to be teaching. So, amen. They ministered this weekend at the ministers' conference together. They tag-teamed. Woo, it was good. One more time, and I'm just saying these announcements before I dismiss the kids and the youth. Man, can y'all tell they've almost got all the stain up? It has been one. It's taken them 2 weeks to get the old junky stain up so that they can put the new stain on the concrete. It looks like by Wednesday they're saying we're going to have new stain on the ground. And so after the service, we're going to pick up chairs one more time. The ushers, they've been working, buddy, because they get here early to put the chairs back up. So if y'all can help us on that. Heidi needs a couple of people on 1 month in June, which is the 12th, and not 1 day in June, the 12th, and then 1 day in July, to help with the concession stand for the play day that a group comes and rents the arena for. And she's needing some help. How many of you know you burn out when there's one person doing everything? And there's a lot of people that are wanting to serve in this church. It's very simple. It's not all day. It's nothing like the rodeo. It's only a couple hours usually. But she needs help on that. So would y'all see Heidi? Where is Heidi? Heidi? Would y'all see her? And just anybody that can help, June the 12th and July the 10th, she needs help on that. And then finally, Vacation Bible School. Mamas, dads, spread the word. Have your friends tell all of their friends. 5-year-old up to 12-year-old are going to have a blast on June the 21st through the 24th. It's a 6:30 to 8 Vacation Bible School. They say they even have a meal prepared. I got saved at Vacation Bible School when I was 10 years old, May the 10th, 1979. Don't miss our Vacation Bible Schools. It is the greatest time in the summer for kids to come and get, you know, they get fired up over those kind of things. And so it's going to be a wonderful time that Mary has organized. So again, June the 21st through the 24th. Vacation Bible School. Amen? All right, let's do it. Kids Church, all our awesome youth, you don't want to miss youth group. You don't want to miss kids group. You're dismissed out the back end with a big round of applause. Begin to turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 103. Psalms chapter 103. The book of Psalms, chapter 103. Again, I tell you, God has done some amazing things. We had one of the greatest ministers, Cowboy Ministers Conferences in San Antonio that me and Rusty put together. And God moved in a mighty way. Miss Billy Brim was there, and I mean, just the power of God showed up. It was just incredible. Very, very excited what God's doing. Lots of ministries. There was one attack. I was telling Howdy a little bit before, we had one attack at the ministers' conference. I was called a couple of days before the conference, and a guy was wanting to come. And I said, well, are you a pastor? He said, yeah, I pastor 2 or 3 people. I said, okay, you're starting out a little bit, you know, a small group, praise the Lord. I said, well, this would be a good conference for you. Before the conference on Sunday night, I preached here last week and then headed there. My mom sends me a picture of a guy that was registering for the conference. And when I saw the picture, he had high heels on. I said, I immediately texted back, Mom, and I'm not a big texter, by the way. If you text me, you might not get a response, but if you call me, I'll respond. So as I knew she was busy, so I tried to text, and I said, I believe he might be at the wrong conference. You did? You asked him? Uh-huh. And he wasn't. And so when I got down there, he sees me and says, hey, I'm Brian. I called you. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Why are you wearing high heels? And he looked at me and he said, because I chose to. I said, well, are you saved? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? He said, yes, sir, he is. I said, well, then come on in and receive from the Lord. And he stayed there for that night. Now, you have to understand, you're talking about cowboys and a lot of them. So when they come in and they see a man with high heels on, and I'm here to tell you, lady, you would be impressed because they were high. Ooh, Jesus. Well, he sat there for the first night and got ministered to, even people's laying hands on him. We just had, I felt like we needed to just walk in the love of the Lord. How many would agree with that? Listen to me. We are not against people. We are against sin. Okay? We're for the Lord Jesus Christ that can deliver them all. One of the greatest thing, one great thing that was ministered at the ministers' conference is one thing, and my brother Steve actually did it on Tuesday night, ministered the Word of God, and he talked about one thing that you cannot live without in these last days is love, because it's the greatest. If you're not operating in love, something's wrong. Well, the next day, I noticed that the guy is back. I figured he might have got delivered because there's a lot of people praying for him, and he had his hands up, and I mean, God was moving in this first service with Jackie Stevenson, and he came with a different color of high heels on. And people were coming to me saying, what are you going to do about this? And so I had to do something, obviously, and so after lunch, we had already ministered with two. I was one of them. I ministered. I went to Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible says that God created a man and a woman. There's only two genders, one man and one woman. And I talked about it for a minute. When what I was doing is I was speaking to that spirit. It was a spirit of confusion, obviously. And so he sat, another minister ministered, and then we had lunch. When we came back, he was seated there again. So I called him out. I said, Brian, come out and let me talk to you. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because in these last days, we're going to be seeing a lot of these kind of things. We're going to see the spirit of confusion. We're going to be seeing the devils that rise up. A lot of times they'll come to church service just to disrupt. And that was what was happening because, again, everybody was trying to figure this guy out. What is going on? Why would a man that is a minister supposedly be wearing high heels and not care? And so I called him outside and I said, Brian, let me ask you a question. Do you believe you're a man or do you believe you're a woman? He said, I'm a man. I said, well, are you ever been married? He said, I have. I have three girls and now I'm divorced. I said, well, if you believe you're a man, then men are masculine and women are feminine. That's how God created us. I said, so you as a man that you told me you were, you are wearing feminine things that usually women wear. I said, so it's very confusing to a lot of people. This is where the Holy Ghost took over then, because then I shifted and I said, but here's the issue. We're at a minister's conference and all the attention is being drawn to you and not to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what's happening? Now, he has this book, see, he has this book, because obviously this must have happened a lot as he's gone to different churches or different ministers' conferences. Matter of fact, I found out that he's been at the biggest ministers' conference of Kenneth Copeland's and on. And he's been at all of them, and no one's ever dealt with it until this cowboy. Okay, but here's the deal. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against the principality and the powers of darkness. And if someone don't stand up and address things that are not biblical and not right, by the way, out of love, then that's why our country is confusing nowadays. Matter of fact, our country is trying to go back to the days of Babylon, the days of unbelief. And I'm here to tell you, Christians need to rise up and start standing on the principles that God created this country under, which is one nation under the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? All right? But what do? Because we're going to love this guy. I want him delivered. I want people like him to get delivered into the kingdom of God. So I said, Brian, what the deal is all the attention is being drawn to you and not to the Lord Jesus Christ. And an effective minister, the attention can't be drawn to self. It has to be drawn to Jesus, because He's the deliverer. He's our salvation. He's the one that redeemed us from the curse of the law, etc. He looked at me and he goes, wow. Because see, he just assumed I was going to beat him up spiritually. No. He said, you know, I've never had anything presented to me like this before. He said, but I would have to literally go to a store and get different shoes. I said, no, you don't. I said, you know what I'd do? I'd just take the things off and go barefooted. He looked at me. He said, you know, Billy Brim last night, because Billy was there to be at the service, and she got up and just ministered. And he said, you know, Billy Brim was right in several things. I said, what? He said, well, when I was young, about 3 or 4 years old, my dad had a Playboy on the coffee table. Okay, here it starts coming out now, right? Here we go. And he said, and I looked at that and saw all of that, and I just stopped and I said, did you know right now that pornographic spirit can be broken off of you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus? And he stepped back. Because see, here's why we have to continue to be kingdom minded. We got to continue to have dominion. We got to continue to be in the light, which is our kingdom, the kingdom of light through Jesus Christ, the light. Say amen to that. Amen. He steps back and he said, well, I guess I'm just going to leave. I said, well, we love you and we'll help you, but you cannot be in division. If all the attention is being drawn to you, you're going to be in division of what this conference is trying to accomplish. And he said, well, I guess I'll just leave. I said, okay, I understand. Because see, listen to me. A demon, if the person that's submitted to that demon in any way doesn't want to be set free, I don't care how much you spit on them and lay hands on them and pour oil all over them, nothing is going to happen, you see. As he was leaving, I said, hey, I got to tell you one thing. I said, I just want you to know that my wife was very impressed at how you wore those high heels. And he kind of grins and looked at me and he goes, I got some higher. Come to find out, he sells women's shoes but look, listen to me. That was his identity and not the Lord Jesus. What I want to talk to you about this morning, I want you to pay very close attention, because we're in the last days. And again, not just in this church setting, because the anointing is here, man. Every devil, we have angels that are protecting this property, because I've already charged them to stand at the corners of this property or at this gate and not let any devils in. Now, sometimes they do get in no matter what. That's why we have security out the back door. Now, that man did come back the next day and was looking for me. So it was like I had higher security surrounding me. I didn't know it. But he wanted to come and get a hold of me or Miss Billy Brim. And we had a whole team that said, no, you're not going to go and get a hold of Corey Ross. And so as I was leaving, going to my room, me and Jamie, it felt like we had, a whole army of people just following us for protection. Well, you see, we have that here because this is a very anointed corporate service. And the Spirit of God here is here. And the Bible says at the name of Jesus, not some preacher, not some denomination, at the name that's above every name, Jesus, every demon has to flee. We have that protection. But what about you going out through the gate of Harvest Ranch and out on the road? What if someone or an enemy devil tries to attack you? The Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. And when we understand the job of the devil, then we know then how to combat that devil. Well, you and I know it's through the Lord Jesus. And when you have authority, praise God, when you have dominion, when you live in the kingdom of God, and here's what I mean by that. This is a basic thing, but I'm surprised that a lot of Christians don't understand this. When you are born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, I can go across the crowd and we can probably just say, when did you give your life to Jesus? Last year, 10 years ago, yesterday, I don't know. And maybe some might do it today. But when you give your life to Jesus, you are then in a different kingdom. You are not in the kingdom of the world any longer. You're not in the kingdom of sin and death, even though you can be in that. Because we live in a world that's full of sin and death. That's the nature because of Adam and Eve sinning in the garden. The devil ended up tempting them and they fell to it. That created the sin nature. That's why Jesus came though. When Jesus was born, 33 years later, was crucified, then we don't live in that kingdom any longer. We live in the kingdom of God through His dear Son Jesus. Okay, does everybody understand that? So when you give your life to Jesus, then old things are passed away. That old nature of the world is passed away. And behold, all things, say it with me, become new. New means a different kingdom. You have to start understanding the reason we come to church to learn about this Bible is we're teaching how to live in a different kingdom. Now, we're living in the world because it's all around us, but you don't have to live of it. You live in the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's the Word of God. What is the Word of God? According to John, that's Jesus. He became the Word. And He dwelt among us 33 and a half years. Okay? So, we serve the Lord Jesus. All that is very basic to a believer in Jesus Christ. Would you say amen to that? Amen. After you give your life to Jesus, though, you've got to start thinking like Jesus. I didn't say you're going to be Jesus. You have to imitate Him. You have to think like Jesus thought. And the only way to do that is being kingdom-minded. Look with me in Psalms chapter 103. Psalms 103 and verse 19. The Bible says, "The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom..." Now again, look at me. What kingdom are we talking about? The kingdom of God through Jesus. That's the kingdom you and I live in as a believer in Jesus. Not a religion, not a denomination, not some preacher. Thank God for all of those. But the kingdom that you live in is the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head of it, okay? So the Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Say that with me, over all. Say it again, over all. The kingdom of God rules over all. That means that there's no political, there's no any kind of kingdom that someone has made. Jesus and God's kingdom is above it. Understand that, okay? Because if you don't understand that God's kingdom rules over all, then you're going to allow things to rule over you. There's nothing above the kingdom of God. Now again, if you're saved and Jesus is the Lord of your life, you live in God's kingdom. All we got to do is start renewing our mind and getting... That's why we come to Bible study. And that's why we come to church. That's why we listen to Christian music. That's why we, you know, I'm trying to get all my kids to, you know, live in, and watching and listening to the right things. Because we're in a different kingdom. We're in the kingdom of God, you see. But a lot of times, we don't look any different from that world. Okay? Here's the deal. There's two areas, and this is the first one. Two areas that will get us through anything in these last days. You don't have to be down. You don't have to be upset over some things that are happening in your body. You don't have to be upset over Israel getting bombed and having to fight a terrorist organization. You don't have to worry about a part of the Democratic Party that is agreeing with Hamas, which is a terrorist organization. I'd never dreamed that. In the United States of America, we have a lot of people that would rather side with a terrorist organization than with the land that God created, and that is His, the kingdom of Israel. Listen to me. Don't ever say one bad word about Israel. The Bible says if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed because it's God's people. Now, yes, we're trying to get them saved because, you know, they need Jesus no matter what. But I'm telling you, they're still God's people. That's why Israel, do you realize there was 4,000 rockets shot at Israel here lately? 4,000. And only 10 people have been killed. Well, it's because of God's protection. The kingdom of God, man. There's two areas, y'all, that we need to get a hold of in these last days that will help us get through anything, any trial, any tribulation, anything. And the first one is understanding that we have to be kingdom-minded. If we understand that Psalms 103 says that God's kingdom rules over all, that's going to help us in a lot of things. So I want you to start turning over to the New Testament in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 11. I always say bring your Bible because listen to me. We're never going to be a church unless the Lord says something differently that allows you not to bring your Bible because we put it up on the screen. I'm not against that. I'm just, the Lord has not sent me into that area yet. I want you to bring your Word of God because it's the Bible that will save you in Jesus' name. It has the answer to everything that is going on in our lives. The Word of God is powerful. It's like a two-edged sword, man. That two-edged, it slices on both sides for the good. And it'll change our life if we just begin to start living by the Word of God and the Word of God only, because that's called being kingdom-minded. One part of the kingdom is the power of your tongue. This is one big part that sometimes a lot of people don't get a hold of. I was riding in the watered arena at Atoka, Oklahoma yesterday, and I asked a guy, "How you doing, brother?" And out of his mouth, which he means well, he just doesn't understand the power that comes out of it. He says something that a lot of people say, "I'm doing better than I deserve." Well, I don't like that. Because that tells me you don't deserve very much. It's just a saying that someone else said to him one day and it sounded good. I'm doing better than I deserve. That tells me that you don't know what you deserve. But if Jesus is the Lord of your life, you deserve everything because you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Come on, say amen to this, y'all. I want you to understand that it's okay in this church to get excited about something. There's enough dead churches all over the country that we ought to have some life in the justice of the kingdom of God. Okay. Almost got excited there. Look at Mark 11, because when you understand the power living in the kingdom, that a lot of it is your tongue. The Old Testament talks about how there's power over life and death in the tongue. There's something about what comes out of your mouth. What you're saying is very, very, very important to a believer in Jesus Christ. Here, what we're doing this morning is we're trying to get kingdom-minded. So look at Mark chapter 11, because there's a great example of the Lord Jesus. What did I say before? We've got to be an imitator of the Lord Jesus. We've got to talk and do things like Him. And here He is given as an example in verse 13 of Mark chapter 11 about a fig tree. And He says, seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, Jesus, He came, if haply He might find anything thereon. In other words, He was hungry. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves. Listen to this though. For the time of figs was not yet. So it wasn't in His season. Okay, this is not the time that Jesus needed to be not kingdom minded, because He was kingdom minded. So here's a tree that wasn't supposed to have any figs on it, and sure enough it wasn't. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto it, which means the tree, He said to the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And the disciples heard it. Now flip down to 20. Go down to 20. Look what this is. Check this out. And in the morning, as they passed by it, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter called into remembrance, saying to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, here's what He was trying to teach them. Have faith in God. Don't have faith in that fig tree. That fig tree is not your provider. This is what Jesus is trying to tell them. He's trying to get them to be kingdom minded. Because naturally the tree should not have had anything on it. It was not the season for a fig to be on that tree. But Jesus was trying to get their attention by saying, don't have faith in anything other than having faith in God. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever... Who is that talking about, by the way? Raise your hand and say me. That's talking about us. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain... What is the mountain? Well, for Jesus it was a fig tree because He was hungry and it didn't have figs. In your life, it could be anything. Now, I'm not saying, listen to me, don't get religious on me. Don't start going to apple trees just because they're out of season and cursing the thing. We need it when it's time for apples. The point of this message, though, that Jesus was teaching us is the power, the kingdom-minded power of what comes out of your mouth. Because He says, whosoever shall say, that means you've got to say something, to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea. And then shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the things that those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. In the King James. Whatsoever he saith. Look at verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The man that came with high heels on, his identity was in his high heels. And your identity is in Jesus. And when your identity is in the Lord Jesus, then we think and talk and act differently. We act like the kingdom of God. You see, if we start getting kingdom-minded and understand that God rules over all, His kingdom rules over everything. There's nothing on this earth that is under the rulership of the Lord Jesus, under the kingdom of Jesus. That's what's living on the inside of us. So when things come against us, that's why it's important to call out on the name of Jesus. You remember I was driving to Albuquerque, or from Albuquerque one day. It was just us. We just had our little baby, London. Seth wasn't quite born yet. He's about 3 years in the making. But he wasn't quite here. And me and London was just a little baby. She's about 1 year old. And I had just roped in Albuquerque at the Coliseum. Maybe it's the rodeo or whatever. And we were coming back, and it was about that time of year, probably 6:30 in the evening. Sun had just dropped down, and it's hard to see. And the Spirit of God it was amazing how He did it, because I had the radio on some music, had to be on some Christian music, and all of a sudden it says, "Hey, plead the blood of Jesus." And I don't know why the guy was saying that. Plead the blood of Jesus. So I just did. I said, "Father, I plead the blood of Jesus." And when I came over a small hill, there was an 18-wheeler turning in the middle of the road. Now, you have to understand, I had a 4-horse trailer with living quarters. I had a wife and a brand new baby girl in a double cab dually pickup. And that's a heavy rig. And here is an 18-wheeler trying to turn around in the middle of the road. I guess he felt like there was not enough traffic, and he just turned around right there. All I could say, because I had pled the blood of Jesus, was I just called out, "Jesus!" And I don't know how we got stopped, because we were rolling, 70, 65 miles an hour then, and he just was right there. You see, there's something about the power of your tongue. What is coming out of your mouth? Well, you'll know it if you hit your finger with a hammer. Because the Bible says in Matthew, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak it. When you hit your finger, we're going to know what's in your heart. Now, talking about the kingdom of God, just a little bit of time left. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Now, this is something that all of you are going to know, because this is the prayer that Jesus, it's in red, taught us how to pray. How many were raised Catholic in here? Let me see your hand. Several of you. All right, everybody say this prayer after me. Our Father, who art in heaven, say it with me. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom, wait a minute. It just said that word kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sin, our debts, as we forgive those who debt as trespassed against us, or debtors, or whatever. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. The kingdom of God needs to come from heaven to hear, y'all. Listen to me. In order to be kingdom-minded, this is the opposite of kingdom-minded. Oh, I can't wait to get to heaven to finally not be in pain. That is not kingdom-minded. That's going to happen. Why wouldn't we rather believe for the kingdom of God in heaven to be down here on earth? Well, because our minds haven't been kingdom-minded. So all we're thinking is heaven-minded. And so then all hell breaks loose here on earth, and we don't know what to do. But if we're kingdom-minded, we'll know what to do. We'll lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover, Mark chapter 16. Peter says, by Jesus' stripes, we're healed. See, if we start being kingdom-minded, then when things come against us here on this earth, we're not going to give up and commit suicide. We're not going to go and drink alcohol or do drugs. We're not going to go and towards sin because we've had a bad day. We're not going to get all angry because things aren't going good. No, we're going to start tapping into the kingdom of God and watch all that junk just fade away in Jesus' name. You watch, you start living by the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because actually, you keep reading in 6 of Matthew here, verse 33, says God's trying to say, Jesus is actually saying, seek first. Seek first. Don't wait till you need the banker. Don't wait till you need the prayer team and all the ministers up here to anoint you with oil. Don't wait for all that until you start believing for the healing power of God. No, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God right now is just defined in any of the Hebrew or Greek as God's way of doing things. Seeking first the kingdom of God, His ways. His ways of doing things. His ways are the greatest ways. And one of them is understanding that He rules over everything. The second way is that you gotta have power in that tongue. Yeah, but this is hard. This is hard to say all the right things. No, it isn't. Not if you get trained. It's just like a good team roper. He's trying to swing a rope without hitting his head and figure eighting the rope. He's trying to swing the rope because eventually out of this swing, he's going to deliver it to a target. And wherever it's delivered, it needs to catch something. So there's muscle memory. When you're here and the steer goes over there, you just rotate your shoulders and your loop around, and the tip of that rope is going to go to wherever it's thrown. And you're just adjusting. And all of this takes muscle memory. Would y'all agree with that? Anything in sports takes muscle memory. Why? Because you practice it and practice it and practice it. When you play softball, and I mean you're fixing to deliver that thing. Oh, I mean, when you do it, man, you've done it over and over and over, and you know what to do. If you throw a little off-speed pitch, it's designed to fool them. Why? Because you practice and practice and practice and practice and practice. It's the same with the kingdom of God. We've got to practice how we talk. And all of a sudden, you'll start hearing yourself say some negative things, and I take that back in Jesus' name. If you're around me, I'll remind you. Because I've trained myself, see. But you're in the kingdom of God too. You see, there's something about the power of seeking God's kingdom. What about, real fast, the story of David and Goliath? Heard that at the conference, didn't we? Oh, powerful man. Listen to me. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You can read about David and Goliath, but just real, and I'll kind of turn there because I want to read some of it. But really, what is going on here is there's a war in the land of Israel. The Israelites were fighting the Palestinians, or Palestine. The Philippians. Whoever it was. Philistines. So the Israelites were fighting the Philistines, right? One Philistine was a big old giant. Everybody was afraid of him. We know the story. His name was Goliath. He shouted out. He said, "Hey, Israelites, why don't you get someone to come over here and fight me? I'll fight for the Philistines. You send someone over to fight for y'all." Well, everybody is afraid. But one little kid, a teenager, a runt in their opinion. He wasn't good looking like his brothers. He wasn't very big. He was the young. He was tending to the sheep. And that's all he needed to do in their opinion. He said, "I'll do it. I'll take on this Goliath." Now listen to me, we're talking kingdom minded. Because he didn't look the part. I mean, he didn't look anything. David in verse 26 of 1 Samuel, he said, and he asked, "Who is this uncircumcised man?" You see, he wasn't seeing him as a giant. You know what he was seeing him through? The kingdom. Verse 32, after they had told him, "Nah, you can't do it. Man, you're way too little." He spoke and said, let no man's heart fail him. I can do this. Verse 37, you can see where he was really starting to be kingdom-minded. They stuck armor on him, remember? And it's too big. Couldn't really wear it. So he took off that armor that didn't fit. And look at verse 45. Wow. Then said David to the Philistine, thou come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come. This is kingdom minded. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. I come in the name of the Lord. A lot of times we don't say that. I mean, things are coming against us right and left, and you know, we'll call the preacher. That's what they do to me. Oh, well, I need some help. We'll get the text messages of what's going on. Now, we need that prayer. We need that agreement. But why wouldn't we go to God first? Well, because we've got to get trained to be kingdom-minded. Kingdom-minded. When we're needing some help, we don't have to go to the banker first. Well, why don't we go to El Shaddai? Father, you own all the cattle on 1,000 hills, sir. And I'm in need of a covered arena that's going to cost a lot of money. Do we need to get in fear, sir? Of course, you know what he's going to say. Why don't you stay in faith, son? Because I'm the one that gave you that desire. The Bible says if you have submitted to me, I'll give you every desire of your heart. I'm the one that told you to build that thing to help the ministry of Williamson County Cowboy Church. This land, you have 78 acres of land that the Williamson County Cowboy Church, well, I actually own it, he said. But I have given it a steward for you. You've got plenty of land. Why wouldn't you try to get your faith up and believe God? Well, because the world says, oh, wow. Wow, now they need more money. No, that's what causes us to continue on, because we need the light bills to be paid. We just need to make sure we're operating in God's economy. Check this out, though. David trusted in God and only God. And y'all know the story. The Goliath was killed by a little runt of a kid, not with armor, not with a sword. With a little rock, being kingdom-minded. You see what God's trying to tell us today? Oh, I wish I had time for the second part of this, but I just don't. Because it's the Holy Ghost. You know that tongue stuff? Kawasaki, Hyundai, Mitsubishi? Some of the church denominations have said it's of the devil. The Spirit of the Lord is saying this morning that if we would tap in to all of kingdom things, the kingdom realm, says the Lord, that mighty things will begin to happen in your land. Your land is the land that the blessing of God flows. But in order to be in that promised land that the Word of God talks about, one has to be in the flow. So the Spirit of God is saying this morning that if you'll get into the flow, if you'll begin to hearken and listen to the voice of the Lord, all of the blessing of God, all of the things that God has put in place for you to live by in these last days, no evil will come against you. So stay in the flow, says the Spirit of God. Stay in the flow. Stay in the flow, says the Lord. You see, a lot of times we don't ever see ministry like that because it's never been taught in a lot of churches. But that's the second part of the power. If you want to get through anything in the kingdom of God, then you've got to be kingdom-minded, number one, and you better start learning about the Holy Ghost. Because I speak in tongues more than I do in English. You know why? Because Acts chapter 1 says that John truly baptized with water. That's after you give your life to Jesus, the death, burial, and the resurrection. But then he says in Acts chapter 1, but many days from now you'll be baptized, second baptism, by the Holy Ghost, so that you can be a witness, that power comes on you, the power of the Holy Ghost to be a witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. You see, there's something about having the power of God in these last days. Now, I was raised a little old Southern Baptist that never heard a message like that in tongues, because our preachers always said it was of the devil. Until I started finding out in this Bible what the Word of God says about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, the Word talks about a lot of people deny the power thereof because they don't tap into it. They're scared of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. You go to Acts chapter 2 and you'll find out that the Bible starts talking about the day of Pentecost. Isn't it amazing that all of this is in the Bible that the devil does not want you to have? Every single person at the sound of my voice needs to have a prayer language. You know why? Because the Bible says that no man understands it but God. That's why I don't pray in English a lot. I pray in the Spirit. Because if I'm praying, I may not know what I'm talking about. That's what messes so many people up. That's why they started the scientific church, Scientology. Because they have to see it all instead of doing it by faith. So it's come against. And then we wonder why so many people don't have the power. I'm telling you, at this church, you're going to learn about the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, in the first years, the Lord wouldn't let me teach on it in the corporate setting, so we'd do it at Bible study, because then you could raise your hand and go, what did that mean? What? I don't understand. And then lots of people started getting filled with the Holy Ghost at Bible study. But now, because of the pandemic, the devil thought he was going to throw one in on us. He thought he was going to separate us by social distancing. He thought he was going to cause us to wear masks from now on. I still was amazed yesterday going out, seeing half people in mask and half without. I'm thinking, get that stinking mask off. Get your immune system built up and start trusting God. But because we live in the world, that's why we're still seeing a lot of fear. Don't you dare live in fear. Live in faith. The day of Pentecost came, the Bible says the power resembled fire, those tongues. You go in the book of I think it's the fourth chapter of this book, and you'll learn a lot, 1 through 10, chapter 4. Read it when you get home. See, there's something about being kingdom-minded in these last days to get you through anything, but you're going to need the Holy Ghost. You need to start getting to Bible study if you want to learn more about it. I'm amazed at people that don't want to tap into the power, the dunamis power. I'm not talking Batman power. I'm not talking, you know, any other power, but the same power that God had when He raised Jesus from the dead. We have that power because of Jesus. Not without Jesus, because of Him. He is the power of God. So it's time. It's time we get a hold of living in the kingdom of God. We're not playing church anymore. Do you realize that's why this church is growing? Some preachers are afraid to say anything about the Holy Ghost. They don't want to say anything about that tongue stuff. Oh, that was scary. No, it isn't. The devil's scary. But He's more afraid of us than we're afraid of Him. Amen? All right. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord. I wish I had a lot more time. But Father, it's time that we just cut it off today so that we can continue it later. Father, thank You for all You're doing here at this church in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, it's time you do that. I'm talking about if you died and left this earth, do you know where you would go? There's only two places, a place called heaven, a place called hell. The only way to get to heaven, according to John chapter 14, Romans chapter 10 verse 9, I mean, there's only one way. Really, you read Acts chapter 4, you'll find out that there's only one way to salvation, and it's through Jesus. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, or you confess Him, and you say, Jesus, come into my life and save me, be my Lord, when you die and leave this earth in this flesh, you'll go to heaven forever and ever and ever. But without Jesus, if you decide you don't want to have anything to do with this God stuff, you have that right because God gave us a will. And your will can say no to God and it can say yes to Him. If it says no to Him and you die, there's a place called hell. He don't want to send you there, but that's just where you send yourself by not receiving Jesus. Please receive Jesus as Lord. Please give your life to Him if you haven't. And do it right now by praying this prayer. I'm going to ask you all to pray this prayer out loud, especially anyone that doesn't know if they'd go to heaven or hell if they die. I'm asking you, I can't make you, I wish I could. I'm asking you to ask Jesus to come in. So I'm going to pray a prayer and you pray it after me, would you? All the believers in here, we're going to pray it with you. If y'all are watching and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to pray right now and invite Jesus in by praying the prayer that I'm fixing to pray. Just pray it after me. Y'all ready? Out of your mouth, out loud, where your ears can hear it, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I want to come to heaven and not hell. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me today. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, right where you're at, I want you to do something bold. I want you to tell God you meant that prayer. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up, said, I prayed that prayer, Father, and then just put it right back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come to the front. But be bold enough to get that hand up. Jesus was not ashamed to die for you and me. Please don't be ashamed of raising that hand up for Him if you just prayed that prayer. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three, go. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you so much. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. I saw those hands, man. Glory. All right, look at me, everybody. Thank God for people giving their lives to Jesus. Oh, now listen to me. Before we're dismissed, I want you to always remember this. Don't you let the devil run you away because of misunderstanding. If you've never really, and you're new, and you've never really heard of someone praying in tongues, interpretation, did y'all realize that's actually a gift that is separate from your personal prayer language? You know, I can't pray in tongues unless it's interpreted. No, not your personal prayer language. It's a prayer to God. But when it's done corporately like this, and there's a hush, then yeah, there's an interpretation. You gotta speak, man. But He only speaks in edification and exhortation. So don't let some, just because you've never been around a Spirit-filled church, even a cowboy church, run you away from learning and asking questions. Amen? Because you need it, and we'll help you. Amen? Did y'all have a good time? Stand to your feet. I'm going to Gonzales. Texas right now to support my little boy in the junior high state finals. And he's going to be shoot dogging a steer tonight. So that's why I'm going to bust it to get there. And then in the morning, he's going to rope a calf. Tomorrow night, he's going to do ribbon roping, which he has a girl that he ropes the calf, and she's got to get the ribbon while he mugs the calf. And then tomorrow night, he's going to team rope. Yesterday, he won a saddle for winning the breakaway roping for the year, and then he placed in all the other three events. I think he won some breast collars and all kinds of stuff. But so I'm real, real proud of him. Jamie, London, my daughter, is already there, and I'm heading there right now. So y'all pray for us. Pray for little old Seth that he has success at the rodeo. And I want you to invite some people next week. Rusty's going to be preaching while I preach at Saginaw, Texas, at the Wendy Ryan Roping. It's always a very, very big, best calf ropers, best team ropers, and the best steer ropers in the world are there, and I get to preach Jesus to them. So Rusty is going to preach the Word of God. Do not miss Rusty. He's going to do a dance and teach y'all a dance move. He's like, oh my God. I'm kidding. He's not, probably. Well, maybe. It's going to be anointed, and I can't wait. Thank you so much for being a part. Thank y'all for coming. Love you guys very, very much. Father, we love you. We honor you. We appreciate you. Thank you for everything you're doing here. And we're just learning more. We don't want to be just Christians that have the helmet of salvation on. We know, we need to know, how are we going to make it in these last days? Before the trumpet sounds, how are we going to make it when the devil's mad? He knows the end is here. So he's going to attack more than he's ever done it. But Father, we're going to stay in faith. We're going to be kingdom minded, and we're going to all make it no matter what. We're going to be in the blessing of you, sir. So help us, sir. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for those two that gave their lives to you. Glory be to God. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for a great time. Now, as we leave, you don't stay here, sir. The Bible says you never leave us. You never forsake us. So you get to go with us right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.